Sister Thompson just came to me and just during offering and talked about some attacks that her family had had, but I'm glad for a God that protects. You call it coincidence, you call it accident, but I call it the favor and the hand of the Lord. Don't you stop praying and don't you stop believing. God is a protector. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Turn around to somebody, look at them and say, I'm in that you got to sit by me. Because we're in the right place for a miracle this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. Revelation chapter 5. Thank you, praise team. Wonderful job bringing us into the throne of God. And I'm going to tell you, you should never take that for granted and take that lightly. But any time we get in the presence of God, should be a time where we disconnect from everything else and we connect with Him. Amen. Praise God. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1. Feel like I have a word from the Lord this morning for you and for me. Many times when the preacher preaches, 90% of what he preaches is he preaches to himself. So I'm looking forward to hearing the preached word today. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Revelation 5, 1. And I saw in the right hand power, him that sat on the throne, a book written. And on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Verse number 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Stay right there. I'm going to tell you, there's an enemy that does not want you to read on. There is an enemy that does not want you to see the possibilities. There is an enemy out there that does not want you to see the light at the end of the tunnel. There is an enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And John began to weep, and because he could not find anybody to read the book. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 says this, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? I want you to turn to that person next to you, beside you, in front of you, behind you. And I want you in your preacher voice, I want you to tell them God has a plan. Oh, come on, you got to say that louder and prouder. You got to really mean that. You got to buy into this. Look at them and say, God has a plan. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. If the enemy can do anything to you, he will. If the enemy can get you sidetracked, he will. If the enemy can get you to quit looking at the finish line, he will. If the enemy could get you just to lose your focus, he will. He does not like you to dwell in the possible and the possibilities of life. He does not like you to dwell on the positive side of things. There is a devil. There is an adversary. There is an enemy of your soul that loves when you worry. There is an enemy out there that loves when you are confused, when you begin to doubt, and loves when you are negative and you dwell on the impossibilities of life. There is an enemy that loves when you are in pain. He loves when you are lonely. He loves when you are hurt. He loves to make you doubt the very existence of God and what God can do for you. He wants you to blame God. He wants you to be mad at God. He wants you to be mad at the church. He wants you to be mad at the preacher. He wants you to be mad at the pastor. Don't be mad at the pastor, but there's an enemy that wants you to be mad at the pastor. He wants you to feel like you're forsaken by God. He wants you to feel like God doesn't even care about you or your family or your friends. And after all, it's God's fault that he's taken your health away. It's God's fault that he's taken your baby. It's God's fault that your spouse no longer loves you and your spouse walked out on you. It's God's fault that you lost your home. It's God's fault that you lost your car. It's God's fault that your finances are in disarray. It's God's fault that you lost your joy. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get into your mind. He wants to get into your spirit, and he wants to lie to you. John chapter 8, 44 said, he was a murderer from the beginning and never abode in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So I submit to you today that there is an enemy out there that will try to make you dwell on the negative and make you dwell on the impossibilities and make you get your mind that it's God's fault and the church's fault. But I submit to you this morning on a Sunday morning in Tulare, California, at Abundant Life Center, that it's not God's fault, and it's not the church's fault, it's not the pastor's fault, it's that devil's fault, it's that adversary of your soul. He's after you. It is his fault. You listen to pastor today. God didn't take your baby. God didn't curse your body. Sin did it. God is not in the business of taking loved ones. God is not in the business of taking lives. No, you won't find, because many people say, well, God allowed that. No, God did not allow that. Sin came in, and the devil did it. He got into Eve's mind, and he twisted the word of God, and it made her doubt the very existence and the very purpose of God. He made her doubt who God was and what God was all about. Remember when she partook of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, at that moment the Bible said that sin entered the world. At that moment sin began to enter a pure world and corrupted it the minute that she took that bite. The Bible lets us know that death entered the world. See, the devil lied to her. He said, if you'll just eat this, you'll begin to see clear. You will begin to see like God. You will begin to be like God. You will begin to know right and wrong. It will open your eyes. If you'll just go ahead, the church doesn't have the answer, and God doesn't have the answer. But if you'll just take that bite. And we know that she took that bite, and the minute that she took that bite, the Bible said that sin entered the world. Romans 5:12 says it like this: wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Somebody shout all men. That means you, and that means me, for all have sinned. Romans 3:23 even breaks it down like this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that act of disobedience to God, we all became sinners. You say, well, pastor, I haven't murdered anybody. Pastor, I haven't stolen from anybody. I've lived a good life. I haven't done this and I haven't done that. Yeah, but there was a father that messed you up. There was a father that disobeyed the very commandments of God. And because of their choices, we were all born into sin and shapen into iniquity. Yes, on that day, it was a very dark day. It looked bleak and it looked hopeless. And the devil thought that he had won. The devil thought that it was over. It was a dark day, that now he found a pure garden and he defiled that, and sin entered the world and death entered the garden. But thank God it was not over. Thank God it didn't end that way. Thank God that he had a plan even before sin entered the world. I'm here to tell you that God had a plan. God always has a plan. Nothing surprises God.
wake up. I don't care how dark the night is. I don't care how bleak and helpless it may look. I've got a God that always has a plan. I've got a God that can make a way where there seemed to be no way. That's why they pinned it with those words, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, you mark it down. I may fall, I may slip, I may stumble, but don't you dare rejoice, because when I fall, I shall arise." Can I speak to somebody this morning? Can I preach to somebody today? Don't give up on your miracle. Don't quit on life. Don't throw in the towel and walk away from God, because God has a plan. God has a purpose. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord and shout, "Thank you, Jesus." God has a plan. God has always had a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your marriage. He has a plan for your children. He has a plan for your family. Even though you may not be able to see it, even though you may not be able to feel it, even though you may not be able to comprehend it, I'm going to tell you, you've got a God that's working for you. You've got a God that it doesn't surprise him. It may look like hell is on the attack and there's no hope. There is a God that says, "I'm in the business to put it back together. I'm in the business of reconciliation. I can mend what has been broken." God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your home. God has a plan for your kids. God has a plan for your ministry. You say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they've been involved in. You don't know the places that they went to. You don't know the things they said." They can't have a ministry. Oh, really? Is it your plan? Is it your book? Is it your way? No, it's not your way. If it's your way, it's the highway. But I'm glad it's not my way. I'm glad it's his way. I'm glad it's his plan. I'm glad it's his purpose. Because the world and family says you're a failure and you'll always be a failure. But I've got a God. I've got a daddy that says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest." You've got a dad not sitting on the throne of heaven getting ready to hit you over the head with a sledgehammer, but you've got a dad with outstretched arms that says, "Whosoever will, let him come unto me, and I will give him rest." I don't care what you've said. I don't care what people have told you. God has a plan for your ministry. Can I just stop and pause there and tell you that many times the things we go through, the hurts, the pains, the difficulties in life, the trials, the weaknesses that we may have, the shortcomings in life, the greatest trials that we've ever been through, could be the area of our greatest ministry? Could it be that God is going to bring us up out of that, like that old song says, out of that miry clay, and put my feet on a rock to stay? Could it be that that grace can be applied to me? Could it be I could sing that song, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see"? Why? Because God has a plan for me. I know I may not look worthy in your eyes. I know I may not deserve it in your eyes, in your perspective. I know I made a mess out of life, but there's a God that loves me. There's a God that believes in me. There's a God that doesn't want to cast me away, but there's a God that wants to put a robe around my neck. There's a God that wants to put a ring on my finger. There is a God that has a purpose for me. Yeah, tomorrow you want to put your shoulders back. You want to raise your head high and say, "I've got a daddy that loves me. I've got a king that's pleased in me. I don't care what anybody else says or does. I've got a God that has a plan." Somebody said, "I've got a God that has a plan." Do you realize that? Do you realize he has a purpose? Do you realize you're not here by accident or coincidence, but you're here in the divine will of God? And God is fighting for you. If pastor could sing, I would bust out singing. God's fighting for you. But you got to sing that for yourself. You can't just let me sing that. You got to wake up in the morning and dust those the dirt off your feet, and you just got to say, you know what, I know I may have slipped up yesterday, but today's a new day, and I know weeping only endures for a night, but there's joy that comes in the morning, and I'm going to put my eyes and put my mind on Him, because God has a plan for me. And I tell you today that as he was forming creation, He was already looking towards Calvary. As He was breathing the breath into Adam's lungs, He was already making preparations for our salvation. It didn't just happen by accident. He wasn't just forming Adam and then all of a sudden He had an OMG moment. No, He knew what was going to happen. He is Alpha and Omega. There is no time. There's nothing that surprises God. And God knew by forming Adam, He was going to have to give His life on Calvary's cross. And you say, well, pastor, I don't know why He did it. I would never do that. Yeah, that's why God didn't put you in charge. God knew as he was forming Adam and He was breathing the life into Adam's lungs, He knew He was going to hang on a cross. He knew the stripes He was going to take on His back. And you say, pastor, why did He do it? Because of love. Because God loved you. God Almighty, He had a plan. He robed Himself in flesh. John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, somebody said all things. All things are made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life. Hallelujah. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness comprehends it not. Why? Because God has a plan. You may need a nightlight, but God don't need no nightlight, because He shines through the darkness. John 1:10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And here's a sobering thought, and the world knew Him not. And John 1:14 says, and the Word, we knew the Word was God, and God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word that was in the beginning became flesh, all because of mankind's sin. The Creator of the world came into this world for His creation, and the world knew Him not. That's a sad statement. The Creator of all things are made by Him, and yet the world knew Him not. God Almighty robed Him flesh, the Creator of this world. He walked among us, and we did not know Him. We did not recognize Him. Why? Because He wasn't born in riches. He wasn't born in a bling bling crib. He was born in a lowly stable, because there was no room in the inn for Him. The world knew Him not. Isaiah penned it with these words in Isaiah 53, verse number 2, for He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, and He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. See, we look at others hoping we see beauty, and the Lord says, I'm not in that for show. We've got too many people that are men pleasers and not God pleasers. When I die, I want the world to know I wasn't a man pleaser, but I was a God pleaser. And God said, I have nothing to look at, no form of beauty. That's why I came among you, and you knew me not. And in verse 3, it goes on, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is God. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and yet we esteemed Him not. Surely the Creator of the world hath borne our griefs, and He carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He carried our sorrows. He was afflicted for us, and we knew Him not. And then they penned it with these words, but He was wounded for our, not His, but our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. He took all the false accusations. He took the 40 stripes on His back, and yet we never knew Him. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The creator of this world opened not his mouth. No words of defense, no fire. It would be us. We would send fire down from heaven. We would take everybody out, but no, there were no words. There were no fire from heaven. The God of glory, he just took it. Every blow, every accusation, every stripe, he took it all for us. They scourged him until he could not stand under his own power anymore. His skin literally tearing off in patches as the glasses and the whip tore through his skin. The crown of thorns that pressed to his skull as the blood dripped from his face. Surely the thousands he had taught and the hundreds he had healed would stand up for him and convince the Romans that he was a harmless to their empire. And yet the mob, under the evil influence of the Sanhedrin council, turned a convicted murderer loose and screamed, "Crucify him!" to the creator of this world. The Bible says he took it all for us, and yet we did not know him. We did not recognize who he was. And the devil thought he won. For 3 days, the devil thought that he won. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They had no clue what they did. They began to celebrate the fact that they killed God's greatest gift to this earth, God's greatest gift to mankind. The devil thought he finally did it. That's what the enemy wants to do to every one of us. He wants to turn that battle in our mind to say there's no way out. There is no hope. We're a failure. God would never forgive us. God would never allow us mercy. God would never allow us a second chance. That's what he did that day. He was like, "I got him. I killed the creator." After 3 days, on a cool early Sunday morning, the Lord God Almighty, visualize it with me, he strolls into hell, and the devil was dumbfounded and he was bewildered, and he said, "What are you doing here? You said that since the fall of man, death and hell and the grave would be my domain. Who gave you the authority to come in here? Who gave you the right to walk into my house?" And the God of glory replied to him, "Don't you know? You gave me the authority when you crucified me at Calvary. You gave me the authority when you put me into a tomb." And Satan screamed, "What do you mean? That was just another prophet named Jesus." And God says, "No, that wasn't just another prophet. It was me." And at that moment, Satan understood the scriptures from long ago. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." James 2:19, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble." Jesus was not just the lamb slain in Revelation chapter 5 at Calvary. No, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His temporary defeat has always been a part of God's plan. God has always had a plan. God has always had a purpose. And the devil killed the lamb, but he unveiled the lion. That lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm telling you, you ought to put your shoulders back. You ought to raise your head high, because the God that you serve has never lost a battle. He's never lost a fight. That's why he said, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Somebody ought to clap your hands. Somebody ought to raise your voice. Shout, yeah! Come on, God has a plan. He took the keys from death, hell, and the grave. You have nothing to be afraid about. You have nothing to worry about. There is a God that's fighting for you. Oh, lift up your voice with me in adoration, in praise, and worship, because there is a God. There is a God that has a plan. Hallelujah. 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 Revelations 1:17-18 says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and the grave and death." Hallelujah. The devil has no keys to his own house anymore, because God stepped in on the scene and says, "I'll take those. I've got kids that need a way out. I've got kids that need that price that's paid. I've got kids that need blood. I've got kids that need mercy." Oh yeah, on a Sunday morning, you want to put your hands in the air and you want to thank a God that gave you a way out. Hallelujah! God has a plan. And because of what God did, we now have hope. But not hope in this world, but we have hope in Him. And what He did at Calvary is greater. Listen to me. What He did at Calvary is greater than any mistake that you've ever made. Any bad decision, any wrong choice, what He did there is greater than all that. I think He even summed it up in Romans, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. There is a God that has provided a way out. And then they said, "Well, shall we continue and say it?" God forbid. He brought you out for a reason, to change. But even though God has a plan and God has a purpose, you've got to come out and you've got to say, "You know what? This thing ain't going to bother me no more. This mistake, it's not going to haunt me anymore. This blemish, this past choice, I know I should have never done it. I know I should have never said it, but I'm going to lay it down because there's a God that gave me a way out." But the moment we keep it on and say, "I'm not worthy, I shouldn't be here, I've done," then we keep it on ourselves. God says, "Hey, Bubba, I've got a way out for you. I paid that price for you. It's not in you, because in your own flesh, there's no righteousness, but in Jesus Christ, there is all righteousness. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds." It's not over. That's the devil wants to tell you it's over, but there is a way out. There is a new start. There is a new path to walk down, because God has a plan. And I'm here today to tell you, God has never forgot about you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've said. God has a plan for you. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody ought to claim that today. Somebody ought to pull that down. Somebody ought to embrace that. Come on. What He did there is greater than any mistake you've ever made. Come out of that dungeon of doubt. Come out of that dungeon of fear. Don't let that hold you captive any longer. God has a plan for you. Somebody ought to lift your voice in this house today. Oh, lift your voice today. Come on, you serve a God that loves you. You serve a God that cares about you. You serve a God that is concerned about you. You're not alone. You don't have to face this by yourself. But there's a God that says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you unto the ends of the world." Why? Because God has a plan. God has a purpose for me. Oh, lift your voice. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel Him here today. I feel Him here today. I feel Him here today. Come on, break out of it. Break out of it. I don't care what you've done before service. I don't care what you did last week. The mere fact that you're in the house of God today is reason in itself to worship a God, because there is a new day and a new start and a new beginning. Come on. It's not over. It's not over. Shataya koros. Yarakaya torasi. Harakaya raso. Shatarakaya to. Yarayanda yasiyako. Oh, come on. You're not waiting on God today. God's waiting on you today. I know in John 10:10 that there's a thief that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. Welcome to Abundant Life Center. Welcome to a new start. Welcome to a new beginning. Hallelujah. God's your answer. God's your remedy. God's your hope. God is everything you need him to be. He's a plan for you. Shut up. Shut up. Come on, I feel him in this house. I feel him. I feel him here. There is hope. There is hope. Come on, he's concerned about you. You do have purpose. You do matter. You do have value. You do have worth. Your ministry is not over, but your ministry is going to a new dimension. It's going to a new level. God has a plan. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Why don't you lay a hand on somebody? Why don't we connect one to another? Why don't we agree together? We're coming out of this together. We're coming out of this together. Hallelujah. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. Shatarakaya to. Shatay. Never, never stops. Come on. I see it. I see it. Yes. Come on. Oh, that's it. You can't do it by yourself. But when you connect to a God, all things are possible through him. Never don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you raise your hands towards heaven? Why don't you just worship? It's who you are. It's who you are. Come on. God has called you for such a time as this.
Listen to this. Revelations 5:4. John began to weep because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He began to weep. No one had the power to loose the seals. No one was worthy to open the book. And he began to weep. Until one of the elders spoke up. Thank God for a man of God. Because in verse 5, it says, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, that lion, the devil thought he killed the lamb, but he unveiled the lion. That lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And behold, I, lo, in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The devil thought he had won, but God had a plan. And I said all that to help somehow impart this truth. Don't let a past choice or a past decision or a past mistake hold you captive any longer. You come out of that. As we are living in the last days, and you've got family and you've got friends that need this. And the only way they can get this is you got to get you right. And got to get the fact that God forgave you and God washed you with the blood. And God has forgotten all the junk that you've made because it's covered by the blood. And if you can realize that and realize I'm a child of God, I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I know there's nothing good in me, but it could possibly be that if he did all that for me, don't you think he'll give me the right words at the right time to speak to my family, speak to my friends, and speak to my neighbors, and speak to my coworkers about a God that saved me, about a God that delivered me? I believe in his word. He said, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. And if you can start sharing what God has done for you, and unveiling that God has a plan. Because I believe that things don't just happen, but I believe they're divinely orchestrated by God. And we can miss the boat when we get in a hurry and try to do it our own way. But when we take it off out of overdrive and put it in neutral and let the reins go and say, God, you're in control, lead me, then God begins to move through you. One more time collectively, could you raise your hands and raise your voice to the Lord? And all across this building, could you just love him?
Come on, don't ask him for anything, but just love him. Come on, he never stops working for you. He never stops working for you. It's always working. I love you, Jesus. Never stop working.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. God loves you. I love you. God believes in you. Just believe in yourself and believe that God has made a way for you. Amen. One more time, can we clap our hands unto the Lord? They're going to sing this one more time, and as they do, I want you to find two or three people. Just shake their hands, love on them, and just say this: God has a plan. Amen. God bless you.